I want you to open your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel according to Matthew. And I struggled. I told Brother Ryan, I kind of struggled with this, about what to do this morning. I usually like to preach a homecoming message, but this morning I just didn't have the liberty to do that. And I'm going in an entirely different direction. So, and it is good to see friends come in today that I haven't seen in a while. And I do appreciate seeing you, and so it's a real blessing. Matthew chapter number 16. And I just want to read one verse as sort of a springboard. And I'll try to be as... Well, I don't know if I'll be as brief as I could be, but I try not to be too long. Matthew chapter number 16 and verse number 13, where the Lord asked this question. He says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And we'll look at that for a little bit this morning. Father, bless now the reading of your word, the preaching of it this morning. Thank you for all that's gone before. And we pray that you'd bless this time together. And we'll thank you for it, and we'll bless your name for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may be seated. And get those hearing aids out to where they won't interrupt my thought. Sometimes they give a little feedback when you have these speakers on either side of you. It's a little difficult. Brother Dave probably really knows what I'm talking about there. But anyway, I want to talk to you about this subject this morning. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, he goes on in the text here, and the answer is, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Jesus went on and said that he said, well, in flesh and blood is not revealed it unto thee, but the Father in heaven. But this is, of course, the right answer. But there are all sorts of answers given in the New Testament as to who Christ is. And for the most part, people don't know who he is. And I would say to you today that if you were to ask people today who Jesus is, most people do not know. I think about the religious answer that is given today. And if you look over in John's Gospel, chapter number 1, you'll find there are a couple of the disciples here. One goes on to be one of the apostles. But you have Andrew and Philip here, particularly that I mentioned, that are called. And rather, Andrew comes and he says... one of the two that followed him in verse number 40, then followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Now, he gives the right answer. I mean, right off the bat, right in the very beginning of the Lord's ministry, you have Andrew, who because of what he sees in the Lord, he recognizes that Jesus Christ is, he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, he is the chosen one, the sent of the Lord. He recognizes who he is. But if you read on just a little bit farther, you'll see here, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and he was a neighbor, lived in the same town that Andrew and Peter lived in. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses saith in the law, and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Wrong answer. Jesus was not the son of Joseph. I mean, everything sounded good up until he said that. He is the one of whom Moses and the prophets wrote. But when Moses wrote, he said that there'll come a prophet, capital P. And he said, like unto me, but capital P. He recognized that the one coming would be deity. He recognized that he would be the chosen of God, the Messiah. But here, Philip doesn't understand who he is. This is the religious answer today. The religious answer today does not recognize Jesus for who he is. You say, but surely Philip knew who he was, did he? Look over in John chapter number 14. Look over John chapter number 4. Did he realize who he was? And he followed him for a long time. He followed him for a long time. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Why is Jesus having to tell his disciples to believe in him? They've been following him for a while now. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, it goes on, he's talking to Philip, or Thomas and Philip. And Philip saith unto him in verse number 8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me. Now, Philip gave him the religious answer in John chapter number 1. The religious answer is, you're a good man. And that's what the world believes today about Jesus. They believe he was a good man. He did good works. He did great things. He spoke great words that we ought to follow. And he did follow him. But it was not until much later that he actually believed him. Perhaps it was not until after the resurrection. I don't know. I don't know the heart of Philip. I don't know when he actually did believe. Perhaps it was after this conversation. I don't know. But Peter said, thou art the Christ. That's the right answer. Andrew said, we have found the Messiah. That's the right answer. Pilate, when he had the superscription written on the cross, he said, the King of the Jews. Right answer, but it doesn't go far enough. It just doesn't go far enough. Hey, men many times have an answer that looks good and sounds good, but it just doesn't go far enough. I want to look at one answer that's given this morning. In John chapter number 3, there's a man that we're all familiar with. A man by the name of Nicodemus. A man by the name of Nicodemus. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi. He's right. Rabbi means master. Now Jesus told his disciples not to call any man master on the earth. He said not to call any man father on the earth. But here, Nicodemus comes and calls him Rabbi. Now when the disciples called Jesus master, he said to them, thou sayest well. I mean, he is master, he is Rabbi. Now this is correct, he is Rabbi. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. He's right. Now, why do they know that? For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, I want to say that there are a lot of people that know that about Jesus. A lot of people know that about Jesus, but that does not mean that they know Jesus. I want to say to you, and I want to go back to Philip for just a minute. Do you know that there are people that have been in church all their lives? They've been in church all their lives, and they have confessed that Jesus is pretty much who He says He was. But they have followed all their lives. They've followed the teachings of the church. They follow the teachings of the Bible, but they've never known Him. They've been religious all of their lives. They have given the religious answer as to who He is, but they've never known Him. And Jesus would ask them this question, Have been so long time with you, and hast thou not known me? A lot of people like that. Here's Nicodemus. And I want to call a few things to your attention. Notice Nicodemus and his belief in verses 1 and 2 here. He says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews. Notice, first of all, there was a man of the Pharisees. You don't ever read anything good in the Bible about the Pharisees. They're a haughty bunch of people. They're a very religious group of people. They're called whited sepulchres full of dead men's bones. They look pretty good on the outside, but inside they're just rotted corpses. I'm talking about spiritually speaking. They look good on the outside. Have you ever driven by a cemetery and looked at the mausoleums and all, and how sometimes they can be very ornate and very elaborate, but you know good and well if what's on the inside stinks. Well, that's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. That nothing good to them. He would talk about how that they would make such an effort to keep the law, you know, and they would wash the outside of the plates and the pots and all that, and didn't take any thought at all about what was dirty and nasty was what's on the inside. That they weren't concerned about that those things that were good and holy. And notice his genealogies. He was named Nicodemus. That means victorious among his people. He had a name. He had a good name among his people. Nicodemus did. But then notice that he was a ruler of the Jews. Now, this seems to indicate that maybe Nicodemus sat on the council of the Sanhedrin. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a man that was in the government that made decisions for the people. But there was a mystery involved here. The same came to Jesus by night. Why would he have come by night? Well, why would anybody do anything by night? He didn't want to be seen. He didn't want anybody to know what he was doing. And if he was on a mission from the Sanhedrin, it would seem to me that the governing body did not want to know that they were coming to Jesus to try to get him to join up. They didn't want to get him to either join up or to get quiet. They wanted him either to become a part of them or to go away. But either way, they did not want the people to know that they were talking to him. So he came to him by night. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He came discreetly, but he made that declaration. I mean, it seems that he comes and he bows before him because he says, Rabbi. I mean, he bowed himself. He humbled himself before him. And they always humbled themselves before the one that was in authority as he put him there. And he made such an observation. But notice Nicodemus and his blindness. And we want to get into this a little bit more. I kind of passed over that rather quickly. But notice Nicodemus and his blindness. Here in verse number 3, the imperative for the new birth is expressed. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is an imperative. There's absolutely no way that anybody goes to heaven except that he be born again. Amen. Notice the speaker, the authority here. in olden time, Hebrews chapter 11 in verse number 1 and 2, we're told that in olden time that God spake to us by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. And here is the very Son of God speaking. And He is speaking to Nicodemus, and He's telling him that except a man be born again, that's the only way. The only way that a man can be in heaven. Notice the singularity in the audience. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. He's not talking to a crowd of people here. He's talking to one man. I think about how that it doesn't matter if there's a crowd of 1,000 or if it's one person. If it's the thousands on the day of Pentecost or if it's one individual in a home. Jesus speaks to an individual.
Amen.
And He says, except a man be born again. And it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman or a boy or a girl. Except you be born again. And he kind of, I don't know, I didn't see him point his finger, but he might have been. He might have pointed his finger at him and said, except you be born again. Except you be born again. He said, you can't see the kingdom of God. You see, it's a personal thing. It's a personal thing. It doesn't matter how many people are there. In John chapter number 10, the Lord Jesus makes the point of talking about the sheep. And how He said that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And that's sheep. Do you know sheep? That's one of those interesting words in the English language that can be singular or plural. That's right. In other words, He said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. But He said, I call them by name. He didn't say I call them by names. I call them by name. And so He'll call them by name. He'll say, David, follow me. He'll say, Bob, follow me. I remember as a boy, and I didn't hear it audibly with these ears that hang on the side of my face, but I heard when He called my name. And I've been trying to follow Him. I've not always followed Him as closely as I ought to have, but I've been trying to follow Him now all these years. Why? Because if I go a little bit aside and I get a little bit astray, I'll hear Him call my name. He said, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and another will they not follow.
Come on.
And so Jesus said, except ye be born again. When does that happen? That happens when you hear His voice calling you from your sin. Well, we could stay there a while. But this is the imperative for the new birth. This is a standard of absolutism. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But it goes a step farther. You can say, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But if a man is born again, he will see the kingdom of God. You see, that's absolutism. Absolutism. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, and I've got a friend, he's 92 years old now. He used to say, we're going to thumb our Bibles a little bit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I guess he still says it, because he's still pastoring the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 8 says this. He says, and last of all, he was seen to me also as one born out of due time. I don't know why in the world I read that, but I've got it in my notes. Let's go over to First Peter, and I know why I'm reading this. Verses 21 through 25, he says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you, except a man be born again. How are you born again? You are born again by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And you must be born again. You must be. And Jesus tells Nicodemus that as he goes on. Notice the intricacies of the new birth. In verses 4 through 8, he goes on and says, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? I think Nicodemus is just being a little bit silly here, don't you? Anybody knows you can't enter back into your mother's womb and be born again. Now, I realize Nicodemus may be a little bit confused, but he's not that confused. I don't think anybody has ever been that confused if he had good sense. And I think Nicodemus had good sense. And I don't think he's trying to trick the Lord or trap him or anything like that, because he knew the Lord had better sense than that. You can't enter back into your mother's womb the second time. But he goes on and says, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. The intricacies of the new birth explained. He's just trying to evade the question. He's trying to evade the question. Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb? Well, he knows better than that. Anybody knows better than that. You can't do that. You have to answer the question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do they say that I am? And he's not prepared to answer that question. He's not prepared to give an answer to the question as to who the Lord is. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, verses 1 through 4. The Word of God says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. His mind was blinded. He could not see, at least not at this point, perhaps later in time, but at this point he could not see and could not understand the gospel. And that's what the problem is with folks that are lost. They cannot see, they cannot comprehend, they cannot understand the gospel because their minds are blinded. He couldn't understand it. And then the explanation, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter. Now, earlier he said he cannot see. There's not even any comprehension. No comprehension whatsoever of heaven and the things of God. Why? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Why? They're foolishness unto him. Neither indeed can he know them. Why? They're spiritually discerned. But now he goes a step farther and says he cannot enter the kingdom of God except he be born again. It cannot happen. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now he explains that to him. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's water. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's water birth. And then he goes on and says, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That is of the Spirit. And so you must be born of the Spirit. Now, let me show you this right quick if I can. He says, and of the Spirit, he says, that which is born of the Spirit, capital S, yes, is spirit, little s. Right. In other words, you don't become the Holy Spirit. You are born of the Holy Spirit, and this is a spiritual birth. That's what he's saying. It's all of God.
Amen.
It's all of God. And he goes on and explains that to him. Now, he's not getting it, but he explains it to him. He goes on and says to him, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth." In other words, the wind just blows wherever it wants to.
Right.
You can't tell the wind where to blow. Anybody ever tried to do that? It don't work, does it? You may want it. My brother and I were at our little flea market Friday. We were sitting there at the desk, and you can cast us into hell if you want to, but we're playing rummy. And but we were sitting there, and we had the back door way back at the back was open, and the front doors were open. Don't have any air conditioning in there, so it was hot. We had fans on, and it was raining. Oh, it was raining good. It was, so it cooled down a good bit outside. But a gust of wind come in that back door. I mean, it was like a tornado. It flew through there, and it blew every one of the cars off that table. We didn't expect that to happen. We were not expecting the wind to blow. And sometimes when the wind blows, you don't expect it. And sometimes when the wind blows, it does things that you don't expect it to do. And sometimes it comes from a direction you're not expecting it to come from, and it goes ways you don't expect it to go. And it certainly does things you don't expect it to. Now, this is what the Word of God is telling you here. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Now, here's the sound thereof. Cast not tell from whence it cometh and whither it goeth. You don't know. You just don't know. And it goes on, so it says, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost of God does whatever He wants to do in the birthing of souls.
Yes. Yes.
Now, a lot of folk don't like that.
Amen.
But the Holy Ghost just comes and does whatever He's going to do.
That's right.
You say, but I don't understand that. You don't have to, and you don't have to understand that any more than you have to understand the blowing of the wind.
Right.
Why can't we just accept that God is God?
Amen. Yes.
We have such a problem. You know why we can't accept that? Because we want to be God ourselves.
That's right.
But guess what our problem is? We feel like we just ought to have a little something to do with it ourselves. That's right. We feel like, you know, well, after all, I do have free will. Oh, yeah, maybe to go get an ice cream cone. But this matter of eternity is too important. This is what the Bible says. These are the intricacies of the new birth. This is what the Bible teaches. See, I don't understand that. Neither did Nicodemus. And he was a ruler of the Jews. He was a whole lot smarter than any of us are. And he didn't understand it. He explained it all to him. He tried to help him with it, but Nicodemus didn't get it. As a matter of fact, I want you to understand and notice not only all of this, but notice that Nicodemus was bewildered. He answered and said, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things?" He was bewildered by it. He was upset. He did not understand at all. But you know, that's not too hard for us to understand. Jesus told him this. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." He said, "We've told you, but you just don't believe." What did Jesus say to that bunch of Jews? He said, "Ye will not believe on me that ye might have life."
Amen.
That's the problem. We preach and people don't believe. We tell the truth. The best we understand and know how to tell the truth, Brother Dave, we tell the truth. But the problem is that people won't believe. But I believe in whosoever I do too. I believe that if you will believe, you can be saved. If you will believe, you will be saved. I believe that. Because I believe that everyone that the Father gives to the Son will come to Him.
Amen.
And Jesus said, and whosoever cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Yes.
I believe that. I believe it. And whosoever will may come. I believe that. I never have had a problem with whosoever will. I have a problem with those that won't.
Yes.
Nicodemus, at this stage, at this point in his life, didn't understand enough to come. You say, but he heard the witness of the Lord Himself. Every time the Word of God is preached to you, you're hearing the witness of the Lord Himself. That's right. You know what Paul said? He said, we beseech you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. So every time you hear the Word of God preached, you're hearing the witness of Christ Himself. But do you believe what the Word of God says? Or are you going to be content to be religious? You must be born again. You must be. You must be. And if you don't come to Christ, repenting of your sins and trusting Him as your Savior, you will die in your sins. That's right. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many churches you've been a member of. I don't care how religious you've been. It doesn't matter. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, you must be born again. You must be born again. Jesus said it three times in this one passage. Three times. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Ye marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. Is it any wonder that pastor stands Sunday after Sunday, evangelists travel this land mile after mile, paying over $4 a gallon for gas to get to church after church after church to preach this message that ye must be born again. Father, I pray that you speak to hearts. Do that that only you can do. Lord, you know who this message is for today. And I pray that you would do that only you can do. Get glory unto yourself by the preaching of your word, I pray. And we'll thank you for what you do, and we'll bless you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Pastor.